Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. So we are probably going to be wrapping up our sort of what's in our toolbox series with this one. And specifically, we've talked through the tools we use in the day-to-day coding and design in terms of things that we use peripherally to help our work more. But today, I think we're kind of as we've sort of moved farther and farther away from the actual core work of coding, we're starting to get into more utilities and things that are the surrounding things that are nevertheless essential in terms of these are tools that I use on a very regular basis. These are parts of the job that you have to deal with, but they're perhaps a little bit more unessential insofar as there's going to be a lot of variance here. And I think there are some things that we're going to talk about where there's 100 different ways and 100 different tools that you could be using to do something. And these are just the ones that we happen to use. And so they're a bit more, uneven in that way, but hopefully still useful, hopefully still something that is useful. And I think we've had a lot of nice feedback to this series that I think it's just interesting to hear what someone's using, not necessarily if it's important to find a replacement for what you're using for that purpose, but it's just good to know because you never know when something's going to happen with a tool that you use and you think, oh man, maybe I should try something else. You get frustrated with the way that you're doing it. And so that's sort of where we are. And I think we'll wrap it up. And I think to start with, we thought the place to talk about is just sort of the way we manage tasks. And, being app developers, all of us have at some point probably made a to-do list app. It is the quintessential, your first app. And so managing tasks is something that I think is just core to what we do. And I've tried lots of different ways of managing my tasks and to-dos and things that I do over the years. And for the most part, it's where I've ended up settling is on reminders. So just Apple reminders. It is incredibly low friction. It works really well for when I'm kind of trying to organize my thoughts or gather kind of bugs that I need to track down. I find it very helpful. And I think what really means that makes it helpful versus any other bigger system. So like I have used things like GitHub Issues or Todoist or I feel like there's even a period where I was using some enterprise thing that was terrible, like Jira, but in the end, what I found is for me and for my work, Reminders works great because it has universal capture insofar as anytime I'm using my phone, if I see something weird in one of my apps, I can just hit screenshot. It'll pop up. You can highlight or circle or annotate that screenshot and say add to reminders. And obviously other apps do that, but reminders is everywhere. And if I'm, if I'm out for a run and I have an idea and I'm thinking of something and I just ask my phone, hey, remind me when I get home to, make sure that this works in dynamic type large or whatever it is, whatever that thought is, the sort of the classic, thing where there's a background process running in your mind, you're thinking about it somewhere in my life at all points. I mean, on my Apple Watch, I can do this. This is a great capture. And so for me, I find that Reminders works great. I just have a project for each of my apps and I just tend to kind of build it up as I go. And that works well. Obviously, that doesn't have a great collaboration. It does have some collaboration. So if there are collaborative tasks that I have with Steven, I tend to use GitHub Issues for that. That's a way that has a bit more collaboration. You can do commenting. But for the actual, the non-strategic tasks, my tactical task list is just in my reminders. And that for me, that's been working really well.
Yeah, I've gone through a lot of these tools myself as well. And I've settled not on any one tool. I use different tools for different needs. So reminders, I too am very convinced by the universal capture aspects. If you have an Apple device, Reminders is a great universal capture because you said an Apple Watch or your phone or your iPad or your Mac, anything, you have access to Siri, then you have access to say, remind me in 2 hours this, And there are so many of those integrations, not as you mentioned around the system as well. So Reminders to me is it's more of a temporary and temporal to-do app for me. I love having it alert me later about something that I can't handle right now or that has a time it has to be done. There's also integration with the Apple Calendar app now. In the recent OSs, now Apple's Calendar app shows reminders in the Calendar app, similar to how many third-party ones have done it for a while. And so I do like that for like kind of short-term timed or recurring tasks. It's very good for recurring tasks, in my opinion. And that's an area where I've tried, like, an app I like a lot for just general like UI and project tracking is Things. I love Things. The one thing I don't like about Things is how it handles recurring tasks. And I think Reminders is better at that, as well as that kind of universal capture with Siri. But I do like Things for like if I'm working on a project, maybe it's like a big update to the app, or it's a separate kind of like a household project or some other kind of project. I like the Things interface is just so good. Like whenever people look at one of these apps, like, well, this one's kind of a web app and the UI kind of sucks. The total opposite of that is Things. Things is like the nicest native Apple platform's interface I've ever seen in a to-do app by a mile. And so I love the UI of Things. For the one, I think the one area that it does not really touch, besides you know having recurring tasks work the way I want it to, is shared access. So if you have to share your to-do list, it is not, as far as I know, I don't think it has that at all. Then you get into like a lot more of these web services and web tools. I've tried a couple of them. I haven't actually tried many of them. Most of them, by the nature of being web tools, there is some sacrifice in like the native UI. It is much more of a web-based UI. But then you gain like obviously the sharing abilities, but then you also gain like, well, what if somebody who's working on this is on a Windows PC? Or what if I want to work on this like from a, you know, something like a Chromebook or something? Like there's other options that like you gain platform options there. And of course, you gain usually a lot more features. For my own personal stuff, I don't need that level of feature. But when I'm working with other people on something, I do. So usually for that kind of stuff, I will lean towards something like Google Docs for kind of a more loose thing, or something like Notion, which is actually our sponsor of this episode. So I'll do that ad read in a second. But just to disclaim that now, you know, it's one of these larger tools that has way more features once you involve like teams, like other people, collaborators. That being said, my usual method of like beyond reminders and it's like kind of temporal tasks. What I use to keep track of what I want to work on, whether it's a bug list or anything like that, I have tried things like, I mean, God, a long time ago, I even used FogBugs. I've tried different like bug tracking tools over time. What I landed on now, since I'm mostly, for software, I'm only dealing with myself, is just Apple Notes. I have an Overcast note, and within it, I have checklists. I have other things. I like using notes because I like having my to-do list be a document, not just a like 100% structured list. The way like if you use a to-do app, you're going to get 100% structured list, and it's like okay, you can make projects, then you can make categories, and you can make deadlines, and like I actually work a little more freeform than that. I want to basically have free text input, free formatting structures, or however I want to format it. If I want to draw a line here and make a subsection here, I want to be able to do that anywhere I want. If I want to paste an image in the middle of the list, I want to be able to do that anywhere I want. If I want to have bold text here and you know use a like a weird circ string over here, using a document, whether it's Notes or Google Docs, that fits that a lot better for me when it's just like a one person thing. Where that falls down significantly is collaboration, and of course things like longer term planning or if you have like a lot of to dos. So anyway, we are sponsored this episode by a tool that's much better at those things. It's Notion, and Notion has amazing AI features now. So there's no shortage of helpful AI tools out there. But using them means switching back and forth between yet another digital tool. So instead of simplifying your workflow, it just becomes more complicated. Unless, of course, you're in Notion. Notion combines your notes, docs, and projects into one space that's simple and beautifully designed. And Notion is all integrated. So unlike, you know, bouncing between six different apps, Notion is seamlessly integrated, flexible, and easy to use. And the fully integrated Notion AI now helps you work faster, write better, and think bigger, doing tasks that normally would take hours in just seconds. I have personally now used Notion for a few things, and it is really great. It's incredibly powerful, and the features it has are just incredible. And really, to have it all in that one place is pretty unique in the market. So I find it very, very useful. You can try Notion for yourself for free by going to notion.com/undertheradar. That's all lowercase, notion.com/undertheradar. Try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use that link, you're supporting our show. That's notion.com/undertheradar. Our thanks to Notion for their support of this show and all of Relay.
The other little thing I wanted to say about task management, and especially within the concepts of universal capture, which I think whatever tool you use, find something that lets you capture bugs and thoughts and ideas and issues as freely and sort of obviously as you possibly can. But the thing I will always sort of have to remind myself about is when I'm recording a bug or an idea or something into my task manager, I need to provide twice as much context as I actually think I do in that moment. Because the number of times I have, you know, taking advantage of universal capture, so I, you know, ask Siri or someone to, or something to record something for me, and then, you know, the next day I open it up and I look at it and I have no idea what I meant. Because at the moment I thought I, you know, it's like, well, of course it's obvious. I'm talking about this screen where I need to change this picture from here to here. But it, what I have is just like change picture as my task, which is
fix layout.
fix layout. Like, this is not helpful. Always and forever, add more context than you possibly need to, than you think you might need, or use screenshots or things that ground whatever it is that you're trying to do in a way. That's, and so that's not necessarily a tool thing, but just a workflow thing, but just have it in the back of your mind anytime you're capturing a task. Always think your future self will have no idea what you're talking about, and so you have to explain that to them. All right, so now let's dive into maybe some utilities. So these are just like, this is the grab bag version of this, where it's just going to be miscellaneous things. And the number one tool outside of the kind of the core development and stuff that I use is Microsoft Excel, which is perhaps a bit of a strange tool to be like number one on my tool list once we get outside of the actual like cool things.
Honestly, I don't think it is that weird. Because Excel is, and you know, just whether that's your chosen spreadsheet or whether you like Google Sheets or Numbers, a spreadsheet is such an important tool for running a business in so many different ways. So as an indie, we are running our own businesses. We're not just doing the coding. So this actually is not weird. I think most of us, myself included, could probably benefit from using spreadsheets more than we do. But not you. You use them plenty.
I do. And I think it's the way that I think about my business is so often in numbers, is in the way that, you know, the interaction and sort of thinking through of numbers that relate to the business. So whether I'm opening an Excel sheet to, you know, look at iOS adoption over time, or I'm graphing the number of particular analytics events, or honestly, a tool that I think more developers would probably benefit from, or just anyone involved in a business, is you need to know how to use a pivot table, because it is incredibly powerful to be able to summarize a big data set in a way that is straightforward and understandable. And so this is just a tool that, like, I used to always think pivot tables sounded big and scary. When I think I was in college and I would, you know, hear like the econ or statistics people talking about pivot tables, it all sounded very scary. And it's like, all a pivot table is a way of summarizing data by grouping together. It's like the group keyword in SQL, that it's like, it's just a way of applying that to data in a spreadsheet. Super helpful. Learn how to use that. And once you have that as a tool in your toolbox, the number of times it'll come up that you, even when you have like this, I have these very funny things where like I'm taking, you know, debugger console output from Xcode, pasting it into Excel, and then running a pivot table on it, because it will let me group the, you know, how many of these particular types of things are happening. And if I add, you know, if I'm thoughtful in the way that I structure the console output, it can even make that even better. So, but like Excel is a great place. And I think what I, and similar to several episodes ago now, we talked about Solver and about how having just a ongoing way to do calculations and structured sort of arithmetic. You know, obviously Solver works great for some of those. Excel is super helpful for a bunch of these, where if you're doing something that requires you to, you know, you're tweaking a bunch of different variables, you know, you can do that in something like Solver, which is a bit more sort of straightforward. But when it gets really complicated, if I'm trying to think about, you know, how is this going to work on maybe the iPhone and the iPad, I may have, you know, a big spreadsheet that has a bunch of different values, and I can tweak some values and it updates the references. like get comfortable with Excel or numbers or Google Sheets, whatever really works for you, but get comfortable in a spreadsheet. And it's amazing how many times you will find a use for that.
Yeah, Solver is like a Post-it note. Wonderful tool. Have them around all the time. However, when you're doing like a larger calculation, you have more complexity, more data, more rows, more transforms. You want to put in advanced functionality. Like it isn't made for that. So ideally, like you have both. You know, you have your Post-it notes and you have your giant computer at your disposal. Yeah.
See, the next thing I probably spend the next most amount of time in is Slack. And in some ways, it's like Slack, it's fine. I think there are many tools that do a similar kind of thing where it's sort of persistent group chats with threading and our sort of media upload is essentially what I use it for. And it's fine. It does the job. I'm sure if you use Teams or any number of other tools that are similar, they could accomplish the same thing. I use Slack because I'm used to it and I know how it works. And a lot of people I work with and, you know, on projects, they'll be able to easily slot into using Slack. And so it works great in that way. And it's, I think the main thing that I find really helpful with Slack is the ability to subdivide things into different channels. And I think that is super helpful for compartmentalizing your relationships in terms of so it's like for me and Steven, who does a lot of, you know, who I work with now in a lot of my apps, it's useful that Slack is where we talk about work and iMessage is where we talk about personal. Like we have he's a friend as well as a colleague, and all of the colleague is in Slack and all of the friend is in iMessage, which I think is super helpful. And then even within that, you subdivide that even further. And I think that is just a super helpful way to organize your thinking and to avoid miscommunications, which is a great tool for that, where you're not having, this situation where you have to keep track of what you're talking about. You know, if you just had if all your conversations were happening in one long thread, like they would in something like iMessage, you don't have the context of like, now I'm in the WidgetSmith channel. So we're talking about WidgetSmith. Now I'm in the Pedometer Plus Plus channel. Now we're talking about that. Now I'm in the business channel. We're talking about business. And then the extra context of subdividing that out. And then subsequently, when you go to look for something after the fact, being able to search and have the sort of added metadata of where you are having the conversation is just super helpful and something that I think, you know, is anytime you work with any other person, having a tool like Slack be the place that you do that, I think is just essential to make sure that you are actually being effective in your communication.
Yeah, I think a big part in general of, you know, choosing and using, you know, different tools as part of our businesses is you got to use the right tool for the job. And of course, for every person, that's different, but certain tools will kind of lean one way or the other. And when you look at something like iMessage, iMessage is just not a good tool for most business use. It's a much better tool for like, you know, what it was built for and what it's largely used for, which is like, you know, personal communication, quick messages. But, you know, you look at like the search functionality, archival stuff, different attachment functionalities, like they're really not great in iMessage. Whereas Slack is not as good as iMessage for certain things, but as a like business collaboration and chat platform, it's great for that. Where I find my issues with Slack are mostly similar to like my issues with Dropbox, that Slack has like this one core product that's really good, which is the chat. And they have tried to become an everything platform and not done a great job of that. And a lot of that stuff sometimes becomes overbearing or gets in the way. But the core functionality of the chat, Slack is my favorite business chat I have ever seen. So it is, I think, a great choice for that. Obviously, if you are just one person, you probably don't need a Slack. But it is great for any kind of collaboration, even with only two people. And certainly with more than that, it works very well as well.
And I think it certainly helps, too, that it gets things out of, you know, a lot of conversations happening also outside of email and things like that, which is like, I think in my life, the fewer things I can do via email, the better my life is broadly. And so I think pulling things out of email is huge. And I think another tool that actually is similar in a way that pulling things out of email itself is I use a tool called Help Scout, which is a web-based tool, but that's where I do all my help desk stuff. So if you, you know, if you emailed support at widgetsmith.app, that's where that would go, is into Help Scout. And it's just one of these tools where it manages and lets, you know, sort of creates conversation views, and you can look at history, and it's a way of organizing help, sort of support email, that I find really helpful. Thankfully, Steven's been taking on a lot of the help desk work for me, and so I don't have to be in there as much, because it's the most soul-crushing work that I've ever done in my job. But it is, nevertheless, having a tool like Help Scout that pulls it out of your email is vital. I think when I first started, I would have, like, the support email was just like an alias to my own personal email inbox. And very quickly, I discovered, like, this is a terrible idea. It needs to go somewhere else, and ideally into a place that isn't email, that is actually set up and structured to do this, where you can potentially have some extra rules, where things like if you're constantly getting certain kinds of responses, maybe you can have autoresponders, or you can have canned responses that you write back to someone, or even just being able to organize it and assign it. You know, so there are systems where you can have, if you had multiple people, you can say, I think this is best for this person, you can assign it to that person. Like, there's things in there that make a lot more sense for a help desk context outside of an email context, which is ultimately the communication is all happening over email, but having this extra layer on top of it, I found super helpful, and would strongly recommend getting anything you could out of using it, you know, in an actual email client. That's not the place to do help desk.
Yeah, because email is kind of the catch-all bucket. Like, if some kind of collaboration or communication task, if it can't be done via whatever channels you have set up, it will probably land either in a text message or an email. Having, like, you know, you mentioned earlier, like, having the separation between your business communication and your personal communication, that also applies in email. Like, having a dedicated place where some of this stuff lands can be very valuable for lots of reasons. Not only, I mean, part of it is just, like, professional isolation, like, you know, or liability isolation. You know, you might want to or need to keep business stuff separate from personal stuff for lots of good reasons. And it also just helps workflow wise. It helps to know, like, if, for instance, you wanted to have someone come in and help you with help desk, like you can, it's much easier to grant someone access to a separate tool for that than to grant them access to your email and all the problems that come with that. And it's also just, it can be nice too to just have, like, different contexts that you're working in. Like, you know, if you don't want to deal with your work chat, you can just close Slack or whatever, and you won't see that. So if you're having, like, you know, taking like a weekend off and you want to be away from work for a little bit, you can close those tools. You cannot see those mixed into all your other stuff. It helps a lot in so many ways to have different projects or different needs or business versus personal isolated to totally different apps and services, if you can.
All right. And then I think I'm trying to think of, like, we're starting to get into, like, the more very esoteric and specialized tools that I think about. So, like, I use Transmit and CyberDuck, which are both file transfer protocol apps. I use them probably weekly for just things that come up in my work, where I'm hosting a file somewhere, I'm putting a document somewhere, I'm taking an episode of Under the Radar and, you know, submitting it to our podcast hosting service. I use Transmit for that. Like, it's just having a tool to do that, I think, is inevitably just a useful thing that I find comes up very often. I use a thing called Image Optim, which is a great tool for compressing the size of images of various kinds. So, like, PNGs, for example, you can often squeeze some extra size out of it just by the way it kind of removes aspects of it or compresses it in a different way, but within in a lossless way.
Yeah, Image Optim is awesome. Anytime any image is going into a podcast embed or being posted on the web, I run it through Image Optim, because it, like, you know, so normally PNG or PNG images are lossless. And so it has multiple modes. The one mode is keep it lossless, but just be more clever about, like, look for more optimizations you can squeeze out of it. And it uses just an incredible amount of CPU power to just, like, brute force some really complicated compression algorithms to see, like, is there any more we can squeeze out of this and still be lossless? But then there's also a setting for close to lossless, to, like, allow some loss that hopefully people won't notice. And then it squeezes even more size out of it if that's okay for your application. And so, and of course, it handles JPEGs as well. And it is a great app. It's free. It's based on a whole bunch of open source packages. So yeah, Image Optim, I cannot say enough how much space you can squeeze out of an image and save everybody all that transfer. So it's really useful.
Yeah. So I will say, in a similar issue, I had my little aside about adding context to to-dos. Something that I have also started doing more often in my own development side is I'm using Heek files or Heef or whatever you want to, like the new image format that Apple loves, rather than PNGs in a lot of places for image assets. And they tend to be smaller than pings, and they don't need to be crushed in the same way that you use a tool like ImageOptim for. So just in general, I find that if you can try and move away from PNGs, because they are not necessarily a particularly efficient format. And so as iOS support for Heek has gone way up, then I find that that's been a good place for me to do things. Sort of the other tools, I use the Apple Developer app and the App Store Connect apps, both on my computer and on my iPhone. It is useful to have both of those for various reasons. I think the Connect app is mostly just helpful for notifications. So it'll give you a notification when, your app goes into review or gets approved or those kinds of things. And that's super helpful. And I think the Developer app itself, is super helpful for searching for video content, because the search functionality in there searches the transcript of the videos as well. And so if you go in there and you're struggling with some API, if you take the name of that API and put it in the Developer app, there's a very good chance you'll find some WWDC video, some from years have gone by, that they'll talk through it. And I find that's a very helpful first step in terms of understanding things or making sure I understand kind of what's going on for a particular API.
Oh, that's great. I had no idea that like it was that good. Like normally I just, I search stuff on the web, and I've never even had the App Store Connect app installed on any Mac ever. I didn't even know there was a Mac app. So yeah, this is pretty useful info.
Oh, sure. See if anything otherwise. So I use an app called Tot, which is by the Icon Factory, which is this kind of interesting. It's like a notepad, like a scratch pad, but persistent, and you have like five or six different notes. And it's a place that I tend to use when I'm creating documentation that I'm going to be copy pasting into a bunch of different places. So that an example of where this very often comes up is I'm doing an app launch. I'm doing something like that. And so I have some descriptions about what it is. And I'm going to be taking that information and be putting it into App Store Connect. Maybe I'll be having a variant of it that I'm going to be emailing to a bunch of people in press. It's a place that I just like, it could just put this in it, like in TextMate in a text file, but I tend to like having it go somewhere else because it just feels, like fancier or clearer to me. And it's a bit more persistent. So I don't have the issue of, in TextMate, if I close the file, I have a lot of .txt files on my computer, and trying to find like the right one and the most recent one and things can be a bit more complicated. So I use Tot for that. And it's also cross-platform to the iPhone. And so your notes can sort of easily sync and show up in both places. So if I'm taking the release notes, I need to copy and paste them into something else, or someone's asking me, hey, I heard you're doing a thing, in iMessage, I can easily pull it up on my iPhone, copy it and, paste it there. But I think that's it for my main tools. Are there any things that we've missed that you find you use on a regular basis?
I mean, it's hard for me to like enumerate them all, because there are just little tiny things that I use here and there. Like, there's certain command line things I use, FFmpeg for any kind of media conversion, other like, audio conversion like SOX. There's like different scripts I'll use that I've written over time to do things like increment my version numbers across all the different sub-targets of something using the AGV tool. Like there's a whole bunch of small stuff like that, a lot of which is, personal scripts or, weird command line stuff. So it's hard to know. I mean, I think overall, I think this is certainly what we've done the most of, different like developer services like analytics and push notifications. Like I just write my own versions of those, so it's kind of hard to share and be useful to anybody else. So yeah, I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah, no, and I think that's good. Makes sense. I mean, I certainly, it's like Terminal is probably the other tool that I use a tremendous amount. Even recently, like I've been doing a lot of work with files in my app container, and so the number of times I'm opening Terminal to like say open space and then put in some big nasty path to something in the simulator, like I'm using that constantly. So the terminal is definitely something that I use a lot. And I think maybe to wrap up this whole discussion is just to understand that, like, find tools that help you to do your job better. Don't feel like you need to you have lots of things. I think there's inevitably there's this hope in the back of our minds that if we find this magical tool, that it'll make our lives maybe a lot better. And a few times, as we've talked about over this series, there have been tools that really make a big difference, but really make sure that you're having a workflow that is based on making you more productive. Don't just use a tool because it's flashy or new or totally upend your workflow just to try things out. Be flexible, try things out. If we've said some of these things in this discussion that you think sound cool, go give them a go. But like, I think have a stable, consistent set of tools is really helpful. Most of these tools I've been using for more than a decade because I found they worked really well for me. And so find the things that work for you and then stick with them, and it'll be super helpful to make you very productive.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.